Please be seated, and let's go and take hold of our Bibles, if you don't mind. Let's grab our Bibles. Thank you. I want to just highlight, too, if you have your Bible and a bulletin, that's going to be helpful just as we get ourselves situated. If you did not bring your Bible and you would like to use a Bible as we go to the book of Romans, just raise your hand and we'll make sure we put a Bible right in your hand. We always enjoy having people utilize the scriptures, get familiar with their book, their Bible. It's God's love letters to you. Well, and as you know, I like to start off with a little story, so here goes a little story, and then we'll lunge right into some of the handouts that you have here. The story of about a man who went on a very long business journey, and he realized he better get up and purchase a little gift for his wife before going home. So while he's in the airport terminal, he decides to shop around and goes in and asks, "What do you have available with perfume?" And so the cosmetic clerk decided to reach under the counter, pulls out this nice little bottle and says, "This is very nice. She'll like this. How much is it?" "Well, that's $60. So he said, "Well, I'd like something a little bit less expensive." So she reached under the counter again, pulled out another bottle. "This is a very nice bottle as well, perfume. It's $30. He said, "Well, that's still a bit much." So she reached down again, pulled out another bottle, said, "Well, this is okay. This is $15. And so he says, "Well, that's still quite a bit." He complained. And in her annoyance, she went ahead and said, "Well, what exactly are you looking for?" "So I'm looking for, let me be real careful, I'd like something that I can see that is cheap." So she reached under the counter again and pulled out a mirror. Okay, there you go. Well, you take a look here. We have been enjoying our series that is entitled Learning to Listen. That is our series, Learning to Listen. We are wrapping up the first part, which is learning to listen for the voice of God. We'll begin learning to listen for God's will. And I'm excited for that as well. One of the things that has been presented to you, and I trust if you've received a bulletin, you'll also see an insert that is a half hour with God, a half hour in prayer with God. These are things that we hand out during our discipleship class. We always encourage Christians. We're called to pray. We're called to enjoy our time with the Lord. This is a very easy followed format. It involves the described sample prayer that Jesus shared with us, called the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, some call it. And so you can see there are six phases here. If you spend 5 minutes with each one, that's a half hour. And so each of those are so easy to enjoy and has been quite a breakthrough for a number of people. Matter of fact, we've encouraged people to just find that easy chair or maybe the bedside if you kneel down when you pray and put your watch by it and just time yourself 5 minutes. And as you know, the first 5 minutes is praising God. The second 5 minutes is waiting or silently listening. And that's really where we've been at, have we not? We've been taking a look at the book of Habakkuk, and Habakkuk has been the one that we've modeled what it is to when you need to hear God speak to you. He was a contemporary man. He was wanting his answers to the number one question: if you're so good, God, why is there evil? And why is there evil that happens to good people? And so God said, listen, as he postured himself in silence, waiting, God told him to write that vision. Write that vision. Because those who are going to read this vision, it's not going to happen today, Habakkuk. It may not happen in your day, but somebody's going to read it. And those that read it will learn to run with it. And then verse 4, Habakkuk 2:4, for the just shall live by faith. In other words, you're going to see it, and you need to say, though there are still trouble in the land, it's not going to always be that way. The just shall live by faith. So waiting on God, that half an hour with prayer, so important. And you can see from there the confession time. Hopefully that won't take you very long, maybe all of 5 seconds, huh? Because you're squeaky clean. I know it. And then the intercession is the next in that half an hour in prayer, which means the great urge that we want to just pray for those things that influence or affect us. But how about praying for our nation? How about praying for your church? Isn't that great? And then petition would be the next 5 minutes. Praying for yourself then. Those things that are important to you, and they're important to God because you're important to God. And then finally, wrapping that half hour up with 5 minutes of just thanking the Lord. Now, some of these can float, and if you just think, wow, half hour, that's a long, I don't know if I have that amount of time, then squeeze it down to 3 minutes in each category. But I guarantee God will show up. Be ready. Be prepared. You'll enjoy it. That's a tool. And we're going to make that available even online. If you're watching, we'll get that on our website and be under resources as well. Well, I wanted to take a look at the book of Romans because today's message is entitled Daily Staying Full of God. Because in that process, we realize that there can be those of us that say, well, I pray because I just feel distant from the Lord, so I just need my time. And that's a good thing. But we are recognizing that there are times in a Christian's life that we drift apart from the Lord. Doesn't mean he's gone anywhere. He's always with us. It's true. It's in his word. We've cited that. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So something has changed. And we're going to take a look at how we can just pursue staying full of God. Now, what is important to me, and you know that as a Pentecostal, Spirit-filled Christian, that I always like to preach and proclaim, every Christian should have that wonderful ability to pray in another language, which means tongues. It's very biblical. It's in the Scriptures. We are fully immersed in the Word. We believe all Scriptures inspired. And one of that element is that each Christian should be Spirit-filled and have a prayer language. And as you pray, you build up your most holy faith. But if, in fact, there are those, and it does happen, who are still waiting for their prayer language, that do not have that or possibly don't exercise that, then the message today is for you. Daily staying full of God. It's important. Now remember, when we're learning to listen to God, we have discovered the matrix of listening. That is, stop running. That was the first one. Just stop running. Stop being busy or stop. How about just being disobedient? Stop running. God spoke to you about something. Could be way back in the archives of your memory. You'll know. And you just said, no, that doesn't apply to me. I think God wants something different. But we know it could be very biblical. Let's go and make the accounts current. Let's act on those things that you know the Lord has spoken to you about. And you'll start to see God will speak to you. And we recognize, too, that as God speaks to us, that he speaks to us to our spirit. Because God is a spirit, John 4:24. We realize that. Therefore, we often might say, well, God's speaking to our thoughts or I feel an impression. But God will speak. He's a spirit. He'll speak to your spirit. It could be other ways that are quite elaborate, but often that's how he speaks. And we highlighted last week the importance of discerning the three voices that always come to all of us. And to just encapsulate that, which is so important, the first voice we're wanting is the voice of God, the impression of God. And his voice is detectable because it's always redemptive, which means it could look bad today, I'll redeem it. Could be destroyed today. I'll put it together. Is it lost? I'll resurrect it. It's amazing God will speak like that. There's another voice. It's a demonic voice. And oftentimes before we came to Christ, we've been very given to that. But a demonic voice will always be condemning. Not only will that voice urge you to succumb to a temptation, which you know, by the way, temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, yet he didn't sin. Or else he couldn't have been our Savior. So even though you're tempted, doesn't mean, man, it's all lost. It's when we blow it, then the same element that caused that temptation will bring condemnation. And usually that voice says, God will never forgive. You've done that too many times today. You've done that. You keep asking. You go back to that. That's the voice of evil. It's not the voice of God. You start to hear God says, I'm glad you're back. I'll continue to love. I'll continue to forgive. He's faithful that way. The third voice is human voice. And that voice is very easy for me to detect. And it's one that centers on self, very much a selfish approach to everything. Therefore, it's that voice that would say, I don't have time to pray, or I'm too tired. All those things that kind of foster and feed the human flesh, we have to be very careful about that. And just wanted to highlight, too, how that Jesus addressed that to Peter. Remember, Peter, even in Mark chapter 8, verse 33, he chastised Peter. And Peter, just moments ago, nailed it out of the ballpark when Jesus says, who do men think that I am? Or say that I am. You're the Christ. And he said, Pete, you're blessed. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father that's in heaven. And then if you look at Mark 8, Jesus was very clear, says, I'm going into Jerusalem. I will be arrested. I will be betrayed. I will be murdered. I'll be killed. 3 days, I'll rise again. Peter said, Lord, that's not going to happen. You cannot do this. I bring that up because then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You do not think the things of God, but the things of men. So oftentimes when we want to hear from God, and that it might include some uncomfortable element that can't be God, you can see where Jesus chastised Peter in this almost the same setting. Man, you're thinking like a man. But God has a better plan. Three voices. And we're trying to learn to listen to the voice of God. And he speaks. He speaks all the time. But when we deal with individuals that are feeling they're drifting from the Lord, they have no closeness to the Lord. And that happens to most Christians. Then today's message is where we want to take a look at. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Daily staying full of God. Book of Romans, as you know, the Apostle Paul wrote that great epistle. This whole book, the main theme is that righteousness comes as a gift from God through Jesus in faith. Your faith, but God's gift. Do you want it? He's laying it out there. And so the book is laid out in two sections. Chapters 1 through chapter 8, great doctrine, which means sound, solid teachings of the church. Powerful. And then the other section is just the practical element, chapters 12 to the 16, where he just says, man, just consecrate your life a living sacrifice, and he lays it on out. And in between those is chapter 9 to 10, which is the, or 11, where it is the involvement of Israel in history in bringing the gospel. So it's an amazing thing. In chapter 1, as he begins, because he's addressing a church in Rome that he did not found. He was not the one. He wanted to go and visit it. Chapter 1, verse 11, I look to come to you to impart a spiritual gift. That's the setting of the epistle. And then he starts to address how important it is that the gospel is the power of God salvation. Let's look at verse 16 and then we'll move to our next verse. Verse 16, I'm in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He's citing Habakkuk. We've been there. He's bringing that up. God's going to bring salvation to those who believe. Then he starts to deal with the depravity of man. So I'd like you to take a look, verse 20 through 23, and we'll bring some address right there. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What's he addressing? People who have never heard the audible gospel. Scripture says that everybody will have something move on them because of God's creative works. You're going to say, there must be a God. I'd like to know him. So that you will never be able to say, I never heard the gospel. God speaks. God speaks through creation. So any third world setting, any isolated tribe, God's word says they will still be without excuse. God is speaking to them. I exist. I exist. Come. Let's go a little further. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Let's take a look here for a moment. How is it they knew God, but then things started sliding from there? There's 4 points we want to turn it around in a positive way, but I've cited that verse for you. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It's there on your notes, and it's lined with 4 words that are underlined. We see they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Where are we going with this? We're going to apply those 4 ingredients in a positive way. And if you apply these positive things, you will daily be full of God. You will daily be full of God. The sliding back person is right there in verse 21. So we need to take a look at that. Number one on your notes, glorify God. Take a look at, though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So what we'd want to do, glorify God. See, in many places throughout the scriptures, the word magnify is the same word translated as glory. Glory. You could interchange those words. So magnify something is to make it bigger. To make it bigger. Let's magnify the Lord together. Let's magnify the Lord with me. Well, what happens that you can actually make God bigger. We could take a look, technically speaking, however you want to address him and magnify the Lord, you make God bigger, and the emphasis being bigger than your problem. Bigger than your problem. Many times people who are not walking in faith, they are walking still in emotions or walking in their feelings. We'll see only the problem. Most of us have become masters at enlarging the problem and minimizing God and his word. That's why it's so important when we say they did not glorify God. They knew God, they did not glorify God. They can't magnify him. They're seeing the problem much greater than God or his word. Now you realize when we were together last time and Habakkuk was saying, and Paul is saying, the just shall live by faith. Faith is greater than feeling. Faith is greater. It's much more beneficial to live a life of faith than to go by feeling. It's the same like true love versus lust. See, lust is very common. True love is not so common. Moving and living by feelings is very common. But to find a person that's going to walk their life out in God by faith, that's not so common. The barrier to walking by faith is to still let your feelings dictate. When we're seeing here saying, man, I don't feel God, I want to be full of God, then let's glorify him. Let's magnify God. Many of us are aware of Poi Smith. He was in the first service, and I'm so glad he let me share his journey. Poi, as you know, just a wonderful man. He and his family came back from being missionaries in Tahiti for 9 years. We said, come on back, Poi. Let's get an extended furlough, get your adult children acclimated into America culture a little bit. So on June the 23rd, 2017, they all arrived. We got them all situated. It was wonderful. We just love Poi. Great surfboard shaper. And in the process of that, 1 month later, I'm on vacation. He calls me while I'm in Oregon. And says, Pastor Paul, I'm not feeling so good. I've got paralysis down my left leg. My back is hurting. I said, well, boy, we haven't even set up health insurance, but let's send you in this direction. 1 month, June 23rd, they land. July 23rd, he's diagnosed with brain cancer and cancer down his body. And the doctor's prognosis was you have 1 month, maybe 3 months. So we expedite some treatment. So naturally, very disturbing. I said, Poi, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start to magnify God. We are not going to look at this problem, what the doctors say, as real as it could be. We're going to magnify God greater than this problem. Now, you know, we're well past the year. Glory to God. He just came back from a missions trip in Tahiti. He is amazing. How many know Poi? Can we just thank the Lord for the amazing thing that tremendous. Tremendous. They are walking out a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. So when we take a look, glorify God, it's so important. Start magnifying and glorifying God. So what do you value? What's big to you? Do you magnify the Lord and make him bigger than your situation? Do you make his word bigger than any problem? That's an important statement. I want to be filled with God. As we take a look at that, that's why we list there. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus says that those who believe, if you can believe, there it is listed, all things are possible. Would you say that with me? All things are possible. Say it again. All things are possible to those who believe. Now, that's important because when you see the problem, that's what we've been accustomed to, but new day for you Christians. New day for you Christians. You say, well, I don't know if I, how can I come into prayer? Start glorifying God, magnifying him. How about the second one, thanksgiving? Thankfulness, so important. When we take a look at this, Paul lists unthankful in the listing of the end time attitudes of people. If you were to write down 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2, you'll see it. People who are unthankful are listed with unholy, blasphemers, covetous. Man, it's just listed there. And we just, I don't know if you get out much, but there's a whole society of very unthankful people. We live in a world that has the most opportunities. We are more prosperous than any other generation. But yet we're not very thankful. So when we take a look here as Romans 1:21, they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. So we're saying thankfulness, thankfulness. Once you glorify God, magnify God, it's amazing how you start to become thankful. It's amazing how God's spirit starts to rush in. And when we take a look at that, you just have to be thankful. Now, there's two things about being thankful in order for that to be involved, for an attitude of being thankful. One is you have to have humility, and you have to have a good memory. Humility because it requires you to acknowledge that somebody else has played a part in your life. Somebody else has been involved with you in the affairs of your life. That's what humility is. It wasn't just all you, great as you are, talented as you've been. That's humility. God, you've done something too. And then the memory is, what has the Lord done for you? That brings thankfulness easy to the surface. Check out his word. You may want to rehearse some of the victories of people in the scriptures that are going through similar things that you're going through. How about Psalms? Psalms are a great book. The psalmist, boy, they have the highs and lows. This guy's on the mountaintop. Then he's in deep despair and depression. People are out to get him. Man, he's running for his life. Then he's got victory. He's like, oh. It's fantastic to take a look at those promises. So it's important for us. That's why Psalm 100, we've listed that verse. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That'll get your time with God going, to be thankful. A lack of thanksgiving could move you into the wrong direction. Be careful. So every time you're tempted to grip and to gripe and to complain and to really just see the problem, put a pause on it. Start being thankful. Lord, I know that you're here somewhere and that you're involved. How about number three, imagination? Imagination. When Paul's writing in Romans 1, verse 21, though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. In other words, their imagination just started going wrong. So most people, you realize, it's much more important. Our imagination, our thoughts are so important. In the Old Testament, that word imagination really can be translated into conception. When you image something, when you think of something, you create something in your mind. You can actually see it come about. How about just even the possibility where God's word says you're healed and you start to say, Lord, I'm going to believe I'm healed. I'm going to walk in that. Have you ever just had a good imagination? 22 days, we're going to take 29 people to Israel. We're so excited. Last time I was right there on the Mount of Olives among very old olive trees. And I just sat there and thinking about Jesus weeping in that grove for me. And Father, if there's any other way we can have this cup pass, let's see what we can do. But there is no other way to redeem me. And Jesus was still willing. Those are great thoughts to think about God moving in that fashion, in that format. But an imagination is important. Meditate on God's word. If you can't put things together, come across Bible scriptures, passages, think about how great God's love is for you. That's why Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, can you see it? We've listed it there. It says, brethren, talking to Christians, says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the God of peace will be with you. I like to call these two little verses the short biography of Jesus. Isn't it great to think about Jesus, how much he loves you? When I take a look at learning to listen, I feel like I'm inviting people to get acquainted with God. Come spend some time with the Lord. It's like a receiving line. Have you met God lately? He so wants to enjoy time with you. He really would look forward to you coming into heaven one day. But until that time, wouldn't it be great to not be too shocked that you know him a little bit better on your time on planet Earth than you might when you get there in heaven? God wants to spend that time. Can you see that? And when we fail to really have an imagination that's really thinking and meditating on the Lord, what happens? Right there, our thoughts become futile, which means they start to work against us. Have you had that? You start to think the worst. You start to imagine the most possible disastrous thing. Pessimistic. That's what happens when you can't glorify God bigger than your problem. You cannot magnify him. You have a very small God, but the problem's far greater. And then your thanksgiving. Well, you can't remember when he did anything for you. Can't recall, and therefore you don't even pause to meditate on the word. You can't imagine God coming to your rescue. Watch out, your thoughts will become vain. They'll start to work against you. It says right here, their futile thoughts were just a disaster. And then finally, a good heart. A good heart. Take a look, it says in Romans 1:21, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We're saying, have a good heart. Have a good heart. You know, Scripture makes it very clear that our attitude is far more important than our actions. Anything you do for the Lord, it's not how much or the quality, it's the heart with which you do it. It's like any good child gets praise from a parent when they bring in the latest first grade artwork. It could look like a disaster, but because it has the greatest giving of the heart, it's like you cherish it. That's how God is to you. A good heart. A good heart. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So let's consider those things. There's other references. You may want to write down Mark 7:21 to 23. Also Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our heart, finally, dear friends, it determines our thought process. Our heart determines even our action. You want to see what a person does? Want to see who your family hangs out with? Check out their friends. Just see what they're doing. See how they... That's what's in their heart. It's very easy to detect that. Our heart controls what we say, controls what we do. The opposite is true when we say, Lord, help my heart. Fruit of the Spirit starts to come. You start to see a person genuinely having more love, joy. Reason why our heart responds in a negative way is because we allow it to be dominated by external things, physical things, instead of the Word of God. Can you change that around? Is that desire to be filled full of God daily? That would be important. Letting your heart be dominated by external things and not the Word of God. Our understanding is then darkened and we become insensitive to God. Don't let that happen. I'm pleading with each of us. Become sensitive toward God. Be full of God. When we say their futile heart was darkened, it literally means that it becomes cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. That happened. God wants to fill us. And I will finally want to just add, isn't it interesting that oftentimes when people come into problems and challenges, they may seek out advice, and it may not be spiritual advice, which means, what does God's word say? They'll say, well, I need some behavioral modification, which means, let's start with changing my actions. We still have just darkened heart, insensitive to the things of God. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord says, no, I'm going to start on the inside. Let's give you a good heart. Let's give you a good heart. Then the good behavior starts to follow. It's amazing how the Lord works. Isn't it true? Well, I sure love the Lord. It's been an amazing journey learning to listen. God wants you to be full of him. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But it happens from time to time when believers are feeling, man, I feel distant from the Lord. I feel like things aren't happening the way they should be. You take and apply these four areas, I'm telling you, you will be changed. And your journey and relationship with the Lord who loves you so much will be so vital, wonderful. And you'll once again start talking about him and enjoy his presence in your life. Let's go ahead and close our Bibles. I'm going to invite you to just stand to your feet. Let's sing this song together, and I'll be back to just pray with you as well.
Down my life, I'm giving up control, I'm never looking back, I surrender all. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow, for all the world to know, I'm living for your glory on the earth. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow, for all the world to know, I'm living for your glory.
For your sake, Lord.
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
History, church history, is marked by people who have prayed and interceded for revivals and preachers. Amazing. If you listen to those who have done great things, they'll say the secret to our ministry is people who have prayed, postured themselves, spent time in prayer. But people have been praying for you. This service was bathed in prayer. It's no accident that you're here today, and I thank you for being here. It's a great way to start our holiday season. The festivities are up, but nothing like a holiday, a holy day, like connecting with God. I want to encourage you, do the adjustments that's so necessary. One word, one scripture from God will so ignite your heart, will help you in such tremendous ways. Before I pray, I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes with me. And if you're in need of just saying, Lord, I want to surrender my life completely to you, that's where you're at. If you just raise your hand and say, Lord, I need you. I need you to make a move in my life that would bring me to that point of interaction in life's journey with you. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Anyone else? Thank you. Put that hand down. Let me just lead you in a brief prayer. But let's all pray this together for the sake of those two hands. And for those who are watching my live stream, God's moving. God's inviting. God wants you. He loves you. And he has a tremendous plan for your life. Let's step in that direction. This prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I surrender my life. I trust you, Almighty God, because you've given your life to me. On the cross, I now give my life to you. Use me, O Lord, for your glory. Help me to experience what you have for my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, Lord, as we enjoy what you have for us, even this day, thank you for the power and majesty of the privilege we have to magnify your name in our home, in our situation, in our future. Lord, we just pray a blessing over those who have just committed their lives to you. That, Lord, you would start to become greater, more involved in anything they could ever have imagined. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. If you need a Bible, please check it out with our welcome table. We want to get you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.